Good morning. It's good to see you today. We appreciate very much that you're here. We welcome our visitors. Glad that you're among us as we turn our attention now to the Word of God as we continue our worship. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one today in faith, to repent and be baptized into Jesus, that your sins might be washed away by the blood of the Son, added by the Lord to His church, to then live for Jesus every day as we've just sung. As God's people, it's our intent to live for Him every day. But when we sin, part of living for Jesus is that we repent of those sins, that we confess them in prayer to our Father. And He is faithful and just to forgive us. If you need our prayers, if you need to correct something publicly that is sin against the Lord, then we urge that as well. At the end of the lesson, we'll be glad to assist you and pray together concerning those matters as the people of God. Our intent this morning is to simply discuss some ways to help us grow spiritually. I believe that most every Christian wants to grow spiritually, that we want to be stronger against temptation, and that we want to live more fervently for Jesus every day. I believe that's our desire. It's what we want to do. Yet the devil, our constant adversary, is diverting us, distracting us, discouraging us, diminishing our faith in the Lord and faith in His strength to help us accomplish that growth. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, Paul said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." The devil wants us to not trust in the strength of the Lord, to begin trusting in our own strength, or to simply start being diverted away from thinking about being strong at all. And so what we want to simply do this morning is to try to offer some practical things to help us grow. We're taught to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The passage that Caleb read for us is kind of where I'd like for us to begin this morning in looking at these things and suggesting that one thing that will help us grow is that we must have an earnest and yearning desire to grow, coupled with prayer and learning the will of God in order to grow. In Colossians 1, as Caleb read for us, look, Paul offers a prayer that he was praying, and it's a prayer that as we desire to grow, it's certainly a prayer that we ought to be praying. There's others in the Scriptures. But let's go through this text for a minute. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it," that is, they had heard about their conversion. Paul had heard about their conversion to Christ, verses 5, 6, and 7 earlier there in this text. He says, "We do not cease to pray for you." Now look at Paul's prayer for the Colossians. He says that we're praying that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If we want to grow and desire to grow, we must be praying about that growth, praying that we will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We're not going to grow without knowing God's will. It's not going to happen. Our growth will not be the growth that pleases God. It won't be the growth that we're desiring if it's not anchored in knowing God's will. But it's not just knowledge. He says knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Coupled with our knowing, we need to develop wisdom to use that knowledge, to understand what it is God has said, so that, verse 10, you may walk worthy of the Lord. You see, we're learning so that we can walk fully pleasing Him, so we can live in a worthy way. Our goal is to please Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So as we're filled with knowledge, that we may walk in wisdom and understanding, so that we may please the Lord and be fruitful, he says that we can keep growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened. Here's our strength now. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. The strength is from Him, with all patience and long-suffering, with joy. Part of our spiritual growth here to please the Lord and to be strengthened in His power is the endurance, the patience, the long-suffering, and to do that joyfully, not grumbling and complaining, and by also giving thanks, verse 12 says. So a thankful, joyful, strengthened life, so that we can please God in our walk daily with Him, that we can walk, live worthy of Him by being filled with the knowledge of His Word, coupled with wisdom and understanding. That's something we can be praying about. Paul was praying that for them. We can be praying that for each other and praying that about ourselves. If we truly want to grow spiritually, do we spend time in prayer to God about it? Do we pray, help me grow? Well, I hope that we do. Help me to be strengthened. Help me to understand and have the wisdom to do what You've said in Your Word. To help me please You, Father. To be acceptable before You. To be fruitful in Your service. These are things we ought to be praying about. Philippians 1, 9-11. Here's again Paul's prayer. For this I pray, that Your love may abound still more and more in all knowledge and all discernment, that You may approve the things that are excellent, that You may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God. So now again, his prayer for them is a prayer we can pray about ourselves. Father, help us have the ability to distinguish proper things, to approve the things that are excellent in Your sight. Help us to be without offense, to be genuine in our faith. Help us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now as we pray those things, we need to act on our prayers. You say, well, wait a minute, I thought God was supposed to act when I pray. Yes, and we're supposed to be acting on what we're praying about. You see, how can I be filled with knowledge if I don't then turn my attention to the source of that knowledge? Philippians 3, 13-14. Paul says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to things that are ahead, I press toward the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm going to press on. I'm going to act on my own prayers, on my behalf, and for you. Because I have not yet seized the ultimate prize. I'm still pressing. We got to press forward if we want to grow and pray about growing and are learning God's Word so we can grow. Then we got to act on what we've learned, like Colossians 1 said. You know, grow in knowledge, be filled with knowledge that you can walk worthy of Him. That means we got to lay aside the hindrances, the weight, and the sins that would prevent us from this growth in the Lord, from getting stronger. You know, there are hindrances in our lives that if we will allow them, they will prevent us from getting stronger. There are distractions of the world that distract our time and our attention. There are the burdens of the moment. And then there are the sins that are out there. And all those things are designed by the devil to distract us and prevent us from running with endurance the race that's set before us. And so we must look to Jesus, verse 2 says, and look at His example, look what He did, who now is our captain and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we want to grow, if our goal is growth in Jesus Christ, then we've got to keep looking to Jesus. We've got to make time for our growth. We're going to make time in our lives to be with the Word of God and to be with God in prayer and to put in our minds this desire to such an extent that we then will be learning and living God's Word. Paul said, the writer of Hebrews, if it was Paul, Hebrews 5:12, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers. You have need again that someone teach you the first principles of the oracles of God and have come to need milk and not solid food. Brethren, we need to move beyond the first principles. That takes a desire. We've got a desire to move beyond the first principles. We need to move beyond just being the student to become the teacher. But again, that takes not just desire, but prayer and application. the learning and then the living of God's Word. He said, those that partake only of milk are unskilled in the Word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Well, the skill comes by applying ourselves, by living what we learn. God's not going to pour in skill to us. That takes doing. Solid food becomes or belongs to those who are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. It's by the using. If you want to grow spiritually, pray about it and then act upon it. Of course, all that begins with a desire. Jesus said, if anyone wills to do His will, he shall know of the teaching whether I speak of myself or of another. You've got to have the will to do God's will, to grow in knowledge and to act on that. And not to be content with knowing, but to press forward with the doing and the living. That's how we're going to grow. Let's add to that reading God's Word often, which, you know, is part and parcel of what we just said. But the reason we want to read God's Word often so we can grow is because the Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word's powerful, but we've got to read it for it to have any power in our lives. We've got to spend time with it. Paul told Timothy, until I come, give attention to reading. 1 Timothy 4:13. Give attention to reading. Spend time with God's Word. If we're going to bear the fruit we want to bear, we've got to put God's Word in our heart. If you want to get stronger, you want to grow, you want to be fruitful, you've got to put God's Word in your heart. You see, it's like the branch attached to the vine. John 15, as Jesus described, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You've got to be attached to the vine. We've got to be attached to His Word. Your Word have I put in my heart that I may not sin against you, the psalmist wrote. Psalm 119, verse 11. Look with me then at Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31. It says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide or slip. So the wise person, the righteous one, he says, the righteous one has a mouth that speaks wisdom because you see the law of God's in his heart. He speaks justice. He walks in truth because God's law is in the heart. We want to grow. We want to be strong. We want to be careful not to slip spiritually. We've got to put God's Word in our heart. That means we've got to read it. God is wanting to communicate His mind to us. We have to receive that communication. We've got to read. So the Bible is our life manual. I mean, we've got to open the manual and see what life's all about. Now, I know. A lot of times what happens? We buy something and it has a manual and we just throw the manual aside, don't we? So put something together and throw the manual aside. What happened? Well, for me, I had to go back to the manual because I don't put things together very, very well. But life's kind of that way too. I mean, after all, I've been alive 60 years. I know what life's about. Right? And you guys have been married, been alive 70, 75. You really know what life's about. Who needs a manual? Well, we all do. We all need a manual. Amen. And you see, that's really, you know, what keeps us from reading the manual? What keeps you from reading that manual to put that bicycle together or that whatever it is together? What keeps you from doing that? Oh, I know better than the manual. I know that. What is that? You know what that is? It's pride. It's pride. It keeps us from looking at the manual, isn't it? Let's be honest with ourselves. So what keeps us from looking at the Bible? We don't want to read what's there? You think we might have to correct ourselves? It might reprove us? We might have to make a correction? You know, that's what Paul said the Scriptures are for. To teach us, to reprove us, to correct us and to instruct us in righteousness. All things that pertain to life and godliness are found there. But we've got to read it. We've got to be willing to use it if we want to grow. We can't just say, I want to grow, but then at the very places in our lives where we need to grow, we refuse the Word of God that will help us grow, then we expose that we really don't want to grow. We want to talk about it, but we don't want to do it. We've got to read God's Word. We've got to put it in our hearts so we can live it in our lives. It's just as simple as that. But it's as profound as that. We need to choose good friends if we want to grow spiritually. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That is, don't yoke yourself to someone who's going to draw you into sin. And he goes on to elaborate. We need to choose good friends because, you see, our friends influence us. Friends have a strong influence over our lives. Paul said, don't be deceived. Don't think it's anything other than that. He said, don't be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. For some, look at the next verse, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He says, if we have evil company, we have evil friends, it's going to corrupt good habits and manners in our own life. And we need to wake up to that reality. Wake up to righteousness. And don't sin. Don't put ourselves under the influence of those who would lead us into sin. Because they don't have a knowledge of God. The evil ones. He says, there's nothing to be proud of there or boast about. He says, I speak this to your shame. In other words, this ought to be a very fundamental thing. Choosing good friends is going to help us either get stronger or become weaker Christians. Proverbs 22:24-25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. We're going to learn the ways of the people we're around. If we're around the angry man, we're going to learn to be angry. We're going to be around godly people, we're going to have an opportunity to learn to be godly. He says, don't make a friendship with the angry one, because you're going to learn his ways. Choosing our friends in school and in life, beyond school, as we grow up to adulthood, choosing our friends is crucial to our spiritual growth and strength. And no place is that more readily seen than in marriage. Our spouses are the most influential friends of all. In 1 Kings chapter 11, 3 and 4, Solomon, the wise man, clung to his wives in love. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. God had said not to multiply wives. He didn't follow God's word in that matter. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Your spouse is going to have an influence in helping you go to heaven or helping you go to hell. There's no closer friend in this life. It ought to be a friend. It needs to be the right kind of friend. You see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 33, in a context where there was a present temptations and persecutions, I should say, present distress upon the Christians because of their faith. And he was advising that if you have the ability, you're single, don't get married. That was his opinion. He didn't bind that on them. But one of the reasons he said was, and here's the principle, he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, that's just a principle. You know how it goes, don't you? Happy wife, happy life. Now that shouldn't be we want to please our wives. We do. But we need to please them in godliness. And your wife as a wife, you need to be pleased by godliness, not by things that are not godly. They're sinful. So choose your friends wisely. Choose your spouse wisely. Because there's great influence upon you to either grow and be strong or be drawn away from the Lord. You want to grow? Be wise in your choice of the people around you in your life. You want to grow spiritually? Think the right things. Think right things. And you say, well, what's right? Well, the Word of God's right. Romans 12 and verse 2. Don't be fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The things that are right are the will of God. The things to think upon is His will. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We become what we think. And we do what we think. We do what we think, what we ponder, what we reflect, what we meditate upon. Here's a familiar passage. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So he says, think on these good things, meditate on them, and do them. Because you see, the things that Paul had taught them, that they had learned from him, received from him, heard from him, saw in him, now he says, you do these things. These are the right things. These are the will of God. And God will be with you, not just when you meditate on them, but when you do them. Sometimes we stop at verse 8. We need to add verse 9. Meditate on the good things, but then do them if you want to grow. If you want to grow. If you don't want to grow, think all day long, but don't do. We've got to think and do. Live the good things. That is, we then make decisions and choices to do the noble things. To be just. To be fair, you see. To be pure. To be lovely in our treatment of others. To establish a good reputation of godliness. Actually put those things into our lives if we want to grow. That's where the growth is. You see, Colossians 3:1-4, Paul said, if then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Our goal is to be with God in heaven. Our goal is to seek things above. So he says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Your mind has to be set, for your goal of seeking heavenly things is going to be achieved. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So now there's the blending of the mind and the life. Set the goal. I want to get stronger. I want to grow. I want to be fruitful. Think the right things and then live the life that those right things incur or produce within you. If you just think them, but you don't do them, how strong are you going to be? See? It comes to actually doing what we think. Not just thinking what we ought to do. You want to grow? We need to constantly examine ourselves. It needs to be constant examination. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. We need to examine the things around us that influence us and that would teach us, and abstain from sin and do what's right. And that then comes to personal examination as to whether we're in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13, and you see in verse 5, prove or examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that yourselves, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you're disqualified? Do we know ourselves? Look at that verse. He said, do you know whether or not Jesus is in you? We ought to be able to know that. We ought to be able to distinguish that as we examine ourselves with God's Word, with God's will. Now, our examination is not to make surface comparisons toward others, but humble correction. Self-examination is to produce humble correction and conformity in our life to God's will, not comparing ourselves with others. Like the man, you know, the self-righteous fellow. I thank God I'm not like other men. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I get. I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there. But the publican had a humble heart. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he was justified rather than the other. We don't examine ourselves so we can then make a comparison against others. Now that destroys us spiritually. That's not growth. That's not growth. Galatians 6, 3 and 4 reminds us, if any man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You see, there's the deception, not the growth, not the strength. But let each one examine his own work. And then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own burden, our own load. We each will bear our own responsibility. So let's examine ourselves in light of the Word of God and make the corrections in humility that we need to make to improve ourselves before God, to get stronger before Him, to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. You see, to look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it. See, put away the sins and let God's Word be implanted within our heart to be a doer of the Word. That's through examination. That we will read God's Word, we will then examine ourselves, we'll know what the Word is, and we will conform our hearts and our lives to it to make those corrections in faith. And there's where the growth comes, as we're doers of God's Word. Now, with that kind of an examination, let's make one other suggestion here, is that if we want to grow, we need to worship God often. We need to worship God often. In Acts 2:42, you see that the Christians that there in Jerusalem, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Here are descriptions of the aspects of their worship together that they continued steadfastly in. The Scriptures over and again emphasize that we need to be worshiping. Look at the worship aspects of singing in Colossians 3 and verse 16. He said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So here now we're reading God's Word, we're putting it in our hearts, implanting that Word so it can bear its fruit. And now in worship, he says, in singing, he says, we're teaching, we're admonishing, we're praising God, singing with grace, with thanks in our hearts to God. We need to do that often. There's spiritual strength in the person who is worshiping, continuing steadfastly. That's spiritual strength. Look at the edification that comes and is given when we assemble and worship together. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul makes this really the thread of his argument in the 14th chapter, of how you use the spiritual gifts, the miraculous spiritual gifts God had given them. The thread running throughout the 14th chapter is use it to the praise of God and to the edification of the church. Verses 3, 4, and 5, he said, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He's answering some of those who thought, well, I can speak in another language. I'm superior in the body than those who speak their own language. I can speak another language. He says it does no good to the body if the body's not edified by it. If you don't have an interpreter, He'll go on to say, he said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. It's a power from God. It was a miraculous ability. But even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. You see, one of the benefits of our worship of God together is we are edified. We are strengthened. We are built up in our own faith. Brethren, we cannot be strong. We cannot be edified through sporadic worship. We cannot have an attitude of being at assembled worship as just, well, if I can, I can, and if I can't, you know, I've got other things that are more important. How can I grow spiritually with that attitude toward worshiping God? We need to have an attitude of commitment to being edified and giving edification. You see, part of that edification is not just that I receive it, but that I'm instrumental in helping others be edified. I can do neither when I'm not here. I can't, and how can I be strong? How can I get stronger? How can I grow with an attitude of worship that is lackluster at best? And not present, even at times, or perhaps most of the times. That's why I think it's at the heart of. I think that's what is at the heart of Hebrews 10:24-25. He said, "Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near or approaching." Consider one another. As we assemble to worship God, we'll also be considering one another. Each other's strength. Each influence upon ourselves and upon others to get stronger. How can we get stronger when we don't view worship as something that is one of the central things to help us accomplish that? David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. It was a part of who he was to praise, to worship God. And that's what God expects of us. It's a part of us. We cannot get stronger if worship is not a central part of who we are as the people of God. Our spiritual strength, our spiritual growth has benefits now and it has benefits eternally. In John, the 15th chapter, we mentioned it earlier, and this is the classic place where Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And he's describing himself and his disciples. And of course, he said, the Father is the true vine, is the vine dresser. He says, in the course of that, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, so you cannot bear fruit unless you abide in me. And so we're to abide in Christ. And to accomplish that, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so you'll be my disciples. So here's the idea of combining our desire and God's Word and a life of faithfulness, followers, being disciples, learners and livers. Not the liver inside you. Learner and liver. Live what you learn. Doers. Now look at verse 9. This is how we abide in the love and joy of Jesus Christ. Here's our spiritual strength. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. As we grow attached to the vine, abiding in Christ, learning and living, loving Him, following His commandments, His joy remains in us and is full. There's the benefit now, and there's the benefit into eternity. if these things are yours. You see, Peter talked about spiritual growth, adding to your faith with diligence, those things that complete us and mature us. He says, if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor barren in the service of the Lord. But if whoever doesn't, he says, he's forgotten his cleansing from his past sins. We either grow because we remember our cleansing, or if we lack these things, we don't grow, we become short-sighted, we're blind, we forget that we've been cleansed from our old sins. Brethren, he says, make our call and election sure. Be more diligent to do that. We need diligence in our growth, to grow spiritually. Because if we will, we won't stumble and we'll have entrance into heaven, into the eternal kingdom. The benefits now, there's benefits eternally. To being strong in Christ, to grow in Christ. Let us commit ourselves to the practical, to the practice of these things, to practically live in a way that we get stronger, and that we are more fruitful as Christians. Desire to grow, pray to grow, learn to grow, read God's Word, choose good friends, think right things, examine ourselves constantly, worship often. Do these things that we know are right. God will bless us. He'll give the increase. He will help us grow as we commit ourselves to the growing. If you're not a Christian, you've got to start growing by being freed from, being saved from your past sins. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God this morning. Repent of your sins today. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. He'll add you to His church, and you can start growing, living for Christ. Be a strong Christian. Grow from being a babe to full growth, to maturity. If you're a Christian, if there's sin in your life, correct that with your Lord. If it's public, use this opportunity to do that. We urge you to respond. Come now while we stand and sing.
I have resolved.